December 25th, 1850. Paris, Maine. Vision at Paris, Maine. A vision concerning the situation in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, and beyond. Urging order in worship and cautioning against unhealthy and unnecessary excitement. We were united in praying last evening for the Spirit of the Lord to fall upon us. God heard our earnest cries. I was taken off in vision. I saw how great and holy God was. Said the angel, "Walk carefully before him, for he is high and lifted up, and the train of his glory fills the temple." I saw that everything in heaven was in perfect order. Said the angel, "Look ye, Christ is the head. Move in order, move in order. Have a meaning to everything." Said the angel, "Behold ye, and know how perfect, how beautiful the order in heaven. Follow it." Then I saw that the papers would go, and that it would be the means of bringing souls to a knowledge of the truth. I saw that James had not borne the burden alone, but that the angels of God had assisted and had oversight of the paper. Then the angel pointed to Fairhaven, Massachusetts, and said, "Ye have not moved in God at all times. There has been a stretching beyond the movings of God, and ye have moved in self." I saw that the mind should be taken from mortals and be raised to God. I saw that the exercises were in great danger of being adulterated, and their former opinion and knowledge governing in a measure their exercise. Therefore, implicit confidence could not be placed in these exercises. But if anyone was lost to everything around him, and he should be in the state that Paul was in, whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. And God communicate to him through his angels, there would be then no danger of a mistake. I saw that we should strive at all times to be free from unhealthy and unnecessary excitement. I saw that there was great danger of leaving the Word of God and resting down and trusting in exercises. I saw that God had moved by His Spirit upon your company in some of their exercises and their promptings. But I saw danger ahead. Then I saw Brother Gurney, Heman S. Gurney, that there was hope for him, that God loved him still, and that before he left Fairhaven, he was not humble as he should be, and did not feel his wrong. And he suffered him to take a course that would cause nearly all to let him drop. I saw that he had suffered intensely on account of his former course, and he was much humbled. He must be made to hope, and all would be well. Then I saw a faint hope for Sally Chase. I saw that the course that had been taken toward her by disfellowshipping her had been right, for her jealous, evil surmising and self breaking out every little while was enough to drag down and oppress a whole meeting. Yet I saw she loved the truth and cause better than anything else, although she had often wounded it and caused it to be reproached. I saw she must take thorough work speedily and confess humbly her errors and wrongs to the children of God, and then she could be healed. I saw that the church in Fairhaven should not fellowship her unless she makes an entire reformation. I saw that the burden of the message now was the truth. The Word of God should be strictly followed and held up to the people of God. And it would be beautiful and lovely if God's people would be brought into a straight place to see the workings of God through exercises of visions. But I saw in our conference meeting, some laid out the work that God was to give exercises, and rebels were to be purged out in the meeting. Then the honest, conscientious ones began to tremble. "I am afraid that I shall be purged out," and they take their minds from Jesus and fix them upon themselves and others, and the meeting leaves them lower than it found them. I saw that we must try to lift our minds above self and have them dwell upon God, the high and lofty one. Then I saw souls that were needy. They were honest, and they needed the prejudice torn from them that they have received from their leaders, and then they can receive the truth. I saw the burden of the message should be the first, second, and third angels' messages, and those who had any hope in God would yield to the force of that truth. How mighty and glorious it looked to me. Oh, what a privilege is ours, that of being among the children of God and believing the mighty truth, a poor, despised company, but how honored of God. I saw if Israel moved steadily along, going according to Bible order, they would be as terrible as an army with banners. Said the angel, "Should any tarry that have the truth and can give an explanation of it from the word of God?" No, no, they must go quickly. Then I saw Brother Bates, Joseph Bates, that he must buckle on the armor. Said the angel, "Dost thou expect to be free from trials? Fight the good fight of faith. The angel of God will go before thee, and some souls will be benefited and receive the truth." Then I saw Laodiceans. They will make a mighty effort. Will they get the victory? One who has the truth will chase 1,000, and two will put 10,000 to flight. They are coming to conclusions that bring them into close quarters, and they cannot tell where they be themselves, for they are lost in the foggy, terrible fear that takes hold of them. Anguish of spirit will seize them. Dare they admit that the door is shut? The sin against the Holy Ghost was to ascribe to Satan what belongs to God, or what the Holy Ghost has done. They said the shut door was of the devil, and now admit it is against their own lives. They shall die the death. Look ye at the pattern. Follow him, for he is meek and lowly in heart. Shut your eyes to everything but the present, saving truth.